shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Now, there was kind of a little declaration there. What does a shield and a buckler do? Well, they turn away arrows and they turn away trouble. And what was it now that does it? Truth. Yeah. His word. So it's very important if you want those things fended off, then you've got to be ready and know that His truth will set you free. His truth will cause those traps. You know what a snare is? It's a trap. Satan's going to try to trap you every time you turn around, if you let him. All right? He knows your weaknesses. Satan does. If he studies you, if you're trying to follow God and really get into His house, Satan's going to set up every little mousetrap he can in your life. But they can't hurt you. Why? Well, you're too smart for him. Why? Because you know the truth. Now, let's remove from that equation truth. Truth is the knowledge of God, telling you how to sidestep Satan's little tricks. So naturally, without God's truth, you're going to fall right into it. Hook, line, and sinker. Head first into the pit. You're not going to see it without the truth, and you're going to jump right in the sack with Satan. You're going to join his little church. So truth becomes a very, very important ingredient here, because God in no uncertain terms has made it very clear in his word, the truth, that the false Messiah comes first. And then you have people singing songs every day. You don't have to understand God's word. You're going to be gone. You don't have to have truth. Listen to me. I'll get you through. Well, that's a lie. I'm sorry. That offends some, but it's truth. It will cause you to stumble in ignorance into the pit. So truth becomes an extremely important part of the equation. You can't make it without it. And how do you attain it? By the song of the little children. Study the Bible chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and it's no stretch. It's no problem. It's wonderful. Verse 6. Oh, I'm sorry, 5. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, neither for the arrow that flieth by day. Why should you be? Satan's hunting you, and you have power over him. Just let him try it. Kick dragon. You know, he knows you're going to, and pretty soon, you know what, after you bruise his old head enough, he says, I ain't messing with that no more. I'm going to find some easy pickings. I mean, it can be dangerous for them if it's a real warrior of God, for Satan to mess with you or your family. Okay, verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You don't have to worry about anything. Again, what is the foundation? Dwelling in God's house. That is to say, dwelling in God. Did you note from the great song of Moses that God is that eagle? As an eagle take care of her little ones, if they fall from the nest, they'll swoop under and carry them. Do you see the connection of Moses' footprint on this? That he uses that same eagle to say, come under his feathers, he will protect you. Have you ever seen him? Well, many of you, maybe not a mother eagle, but a mother hen, even with her wing over her little ones, if there's danger, she brings them in like, try to hurt me, I'm protecting them. Well, if God takes you under his wing and says, try to hurt me, I'm protecting them, they got big trouble. Okay? They have an impossible problem. They're not going to bother you because God promised. Think about it, okay? Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Again, you'll recognize that from the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Only what? Only if you have eyes to see. Only if you have eyes to see the truth and to understand the word are you going to see the wicked get what's coming to them. You know, there's a beautiful acrostic in the 37th Psalm, You with Companion Bibles. It draws out the Hebrew, the lines whereby It says, don't worry if it looks like the wicked get away with anything, because you're going to see them as a lamb is over the fire. When the fat falls in it, it goes up in smoke forever. And then the last equation, triplet of the acrostic is, your eyes are going to see it. You're blessed. You're going to see Satan and those that follow him get theirs. Is that a pleasure? Well, we're just not going to have to put up with it anymore, and that's certainly a pleasure. 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Have you? I mean, all those things apply to you if you make the Lord your habitation. It's up to you. Nobody else can do it for you. It can help if a parent moves into that house and runs their home accordingly, and certainly the children have some fallout, but it still falls basically down to one thing. It's up to you. Verse 10, thou shalt not, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. It's the writing of Moses in the Psalm. I like it where it says plague, any of the plagues of the vials of Revelation. They're not going to come near your dwelling. It's interesting. Well, you don't understand what happened to my house the other day. What, are you living in that house or are you dwelling in the Lord? Okay? Because there ain't nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing going to come near your dwelling if it is the Lord God Almighty. He will crush them instantly if they come against you because you are his anointed. Trust, work, faith, and believe, and exercise your mind in those things, because what we're going through is as a dream. It's going to pass that quickly, as a life passes before your eyes in seconds, nanoseconds. So it is with the Spirit. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels, and here we have the saying in which Satan tempted Jesus, all right, in Matthew 4, and I believe in Luke 4. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, Satan twisted that a little bit. He said at any time. Now, what is the difference in all thy ways and at any time? All thy ways, way is a path that you walk, and if you're walking it and dwelling in the Lord's house, you're not going to need it, but you will if it's any time. It means you're trying to put on a show then. Well, I want to perform a miracle for the unbelievers. Hey, if God wants a miracle to show unto the unbelievers, he's the one that does it, okay? He knows how to get it done. You don't. And that's what Satan was trying to do. He always twists the scripture, but I guarantee you one thing, he knows them. And I guess I could say, do you? That's what's important. Verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. In other words, Satan said to Jesus, hey, you don't have to worry. You can do anything you want to because God has promised you that he's going to have the angels looking after you and protecting you. Well, that isn't what God said, okay? But Satan was sure trying to twist scripture. I'm going to tell you, friends, there's a lot of men and women in this world today trying to do the same thing. Be very careful. Now, I'm not judging anyone, and I could weep for some of the things I hear that is put out to people, and they don't know any better because they're unlearned in God's word, and that's so sad. Edging them to the edge of the pit in the name of religion. But then what's so strange about that? Because Satan used the word of God to tempt Christ. Don't think he wants you. So know what you're doing. Use common sense. If it doesn't make common sense, it's probably not of God, and you're clearer on it than anyone else. Think for yourself. 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now, there's a lot in that if you'll just grasp it for a moment. What was, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, what was the 15 and 16 concerning the woman's seed, meaning Christ? He said to the serpent, thy seed, the serpent's seed. A lot of people say, you mean you teach the serpent seed? Well, God's word does. Why shouldn't I? Okay, I mean, it's there for anyone to read. Are we going to just say God's word is not truthful and there they are? I don't think so. God said the serpent seed would bruise the heel or the foot of the woman's seed. And that's exactly why Satan said, he'll protect your foot. It won't slide. He was trying to bruise it. He didn't read the scripture or quote it that I just read about you can stomp on snakes and bust their heads. Okay? He didn't want any part of that because it's also scripture. So he takes a little, he leaves a little. So don't you overlook it. That's why he would do that. God loves you, and he's left you all types of information and a roadmap to success in life, showing you analogy after analogy, illustration after illustration, where children can follow that path, that way. But make sure you do it God's way, not man's, not something you might fancy, but God's way, and you'll always succeed. That's very, very important. But that's why the dragon didn't read the 13th, quote the 13th verse. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. God begins to answer here, okay? Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Do you know his name? You want to be set on high? You want to be a winner? You want to be an overcomer? 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Isn't that kind of the time you like to see him most? That's God's promise. I know when you're in trouble, I'm going to be with you. Do you believe it? That's the question. Of course you do. You know he is. And sometimes it may feel like you're all alone. Hey, don't sweat it. You're not. Don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise. All right? You're a child of God. I will deliver him and honor him. Fantastic. 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And there is no other salvation. Yeshua is Yahweh's salvation. That's the way, and that's the path. What is Yeshua? It's Jesus, of course, from the manuscript. I want to cover just a little segment of Psalms 92, which is a psalm or a song of the Sabbath day. Sabbath, what does Sabbath mean? It means rest, all right? And who became our Sabbath and who became our Passover other than Christ? And the documentation for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and about 8, leaving no doubt that Christ is our Passover. Okay, he is your resting place. There is no other rest, not in this world. You might find a cozy place that you can warm your feet for a little bit and you're back, but you're going to be back out in the cold again because this world will do it to you. Let's pick it up in the 9th verse for the sake of time. This is going to be a very simple lecture, but there's a lot of depth in it. I hope you can grasp it because it has to do with this generation. You were supposed to know the Song of Moses. So this is a psalm you're supposed to know. You know why? It'd be pretty hard to defeat Satan without this knowledge. That is to say, a recap of how it's done, a blueprint. God didn't say in that 15th verse, yeah, if you get in trouble and I happen by, I'll help you out. Yep. No, that isn't what he said. He said, if and when you're in trouble, I'll be there. Count on it. So, and you will. Now, of course, be real careful. You know, people, I think I got my mic a little bit too high, but y'all live with it, I can. I'm breathing into it, and I breathe heavy. Just working hard. Oh, this Irishman can go straight for a long while, and then the humor kind of begins to kick in, all right? Now, if I can get back to my point here. Our Father loves you very much. You know something? He wants you to serve Him. You know something? There's a lot of you here today, but there are 6 billion people in this world. You know, that's a lot of people. How many out of that 6 billion do you think raise up and say, Father, I love you? Very few. That's why He considers you precious. That's why He considers you wonderful, okay? Because He loves you, and He loves you very much. So with these things in mind, of the last 2 years in the wilderness before entering the promised land, you have these things that are put forth that you're supposed to absorb. Because at a time of trouble, you're going to know who to lean on. Him. You're going to know what wing to come under when the going gets rough. But as I led into this, and I want to, you'll have some people that will say, when there's some little thing, well, oh Lord, I've got a flat. I know it is. I just feel it bumping. And they pull over, and they say, Lord, I'm in trouble. And they just sit there. And you know what? If I was their angel, I'd say, listen to me, idiot. The instructions are in the glove compartment. The jack is in the trunk. The spare, hopefully, if you've done a better job with it than you are with following God's word, and get out there and hump it, dude. Okay. God doesn't do something you can do for yourself, okay? I mean, when you're in trouble, hey, you know, some of us maybe know what trouble is. Have you ever been in combat and in a place where lives are being taken, you know, and so forth? You kind of got trouble, especially if it's 30 below zero. And, hey, that's whenever you know the Lord's there, whenever you can function good under those conditions. Anyway, don't ask God to do things you can do for yourself. That's my whole point, and that's what I wanted to say there. Do it. Get after it. Show Him that you're a can-do type child, okay? Verse 9 of the 92nd chapter, we're going to complete this, and that's it. Verse 9 reads, For lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, and they're going to be. They're all short timers now. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That's what I wanted to bring you here for. Fresh oil. What is fresh oil? Fresh oil is to know what the word Christian means. When somebody just says, I'll be a Christian. You know what the word means? It means a Christ man. But what does Christ mean? Christos. It means the anointed one. Anointed with what? The oil of our people. Okay. It means a person that is anointed in truth and is a follower or a member of the family of Christ. It's not just a word you can flippantly throw by. And when it says to be anointed with fresh oil, it's to be anointed from Christos, the anointed one. The prime of the word Christos is even the word to rub, as rubbing and anointing with Eliyah, which is to say olive oil. Do you see the God's name in Eliyah? Yah being the sacred name, Yahweh. An heir is simply a title as chief, head. So you see, being a Christian is a little more than saying, I do, and another way, I don't. I'll go to church once a week. If they don't ask too much out of me, and I'll sit there as much as I hate it, and then I'm going home. I'm out of here. You're not getting much out of church if that's the way it goes. And hey, there's a lot of people, I'm sorry to say it, but that's what, and why should they feel fed? Because nobody's feeding them. It just, oh well, let's don't be doing that. 11. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. And really the Hebrew here is say, I'm going to hear their fall. When they rise up against me, I'm going to hear their fall. What does that mean? It means God's word is true. If they come against you, he's going to thump their gourd. You're going to hear them hit the deck. All right, spiritually speaking and otherwise. 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. In other words, the very choice. God gives his own the best, all right? And if you're not getting yours, check the conditions, okay? It's real simple. Most of all, love him. 13, those that be planted... I wish this had been translated transplanted, okay? Because I don't believe there was a one of you, let me just check and see. I don't believe there was a one of you in here that was perfect. I believe you had to be transplanted out of the old world into the house of God. I know I did, and I thank God for that, okay? So I like to, those that be transplanted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Think about that. Think about it, beloved. Hey, we're not talking 50 years. We're not talking 60, 70, 80, or 100. We're talking about forever. Forever we have to put up with each other. No, I think it's wonderful myself. I really do. We all have, you know, some people, I don't know why this came to mind, but I guess I'll use it here. I forgot a little bit of time, just a little bit. You know, some people say, I just can't hardly stand that person. You know, he's got this little thing where he's always nitpicking. Every time he gets to the corner, he starts picking his nose. Well, you know, I mean, if he's a good old boy and all he does is occasionally pick his nose, can't you live with that? You know? I mean, well, somebody would say, that's gross. That's what my little granddaughter would say. Papa, that is gross. Well, it is, you know. But people that are so judgmental of somebody's little old faults, you know, that they would just not even want to be around them when they're really good people because of that. So God picks people. Okay, God picks them. And it's like church members. He picked you all. If I were doing the picking, well, it'd be the same people, I hope. The thing is, he knows which one to pick, so I can trust, all right? But at the same time, even in that, he expects you to keep your guard up, all right? Like at Passover, you're going to have a bunch of squirrels come around here looking for nuts, all right? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Religion does strange things. You're going to have people who will say, well, that Bible will teach you certain things, but I've got a piece of paper here that'll show you stuff you never dreamed about. Well, probably it would be. You know? Don't ever, ever let anyone turn you away from the path, the way. But, and just because someone says, I'm a Christian, and many of them will come up to me and say, I know you don't know this, but I'm a prophet. And God has sent me to give you a message. And I'll say, whoa, now son, come here. Come here, man. You know, God deals with me all the time. And he hasn't mentioned your name to me. And if so far to this point, if he ever wants me to do something, he tells me himself. So I believe I'll stick with that. So you go on and be a prophet somewhere else. If somebody comes up to you and say, God sent me, you be careful. You be really careful. Oh, well. Why was that necessary? We had such a beautiful thing going. Why did we have to give the squirrels a minute? Okay, I guess I guess because maybe sometimes we got nuts, huh? Okay. Verse 14. Verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Think about that. Isn't that good news? They shall be fat and flourishing. That means even when they're 70 years old, the sap in their knees will still be running, you know? And they can still, you know, kind of get it on and feel good all over, you know. They'll do it, see? All right? That's what it means. God takes care of his own if you'll eat his way and so forth. Stick to those health laws. It means the sap runs in the bones, all right? 15, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock. Don't ever let anybody push you off, beloved, please. Don't let anybody push you off your rock with nonsense, okay? And there is no unrighteousness in him. He's always fair. God is always perfect. And don't, if you think that God ever shortchanged you, you better have another look at it. Because God gives us what we deserve. And sometimes he gives it to us spread out over a period of time, and sometimes he dumps it on us all at one time. So you want to be careful what it is he owes you. Because whatever he owes you, you're going to get it. You can count on it. He's faithful. So, I love you very much. Dennis is going to be bringing you a fantastic message this afternoon. And we will be down baptizing. For those of you, I congratulate each and every one of you that are being baptized. I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. And it means something to you. So think about this song of Moses. It is a second witness to overcoming the Antichrist. It is a second witness to seeing that Satan doesn't get in your pantry, okay? And it is a second witness that you're on the right track, okay? So you might be in that 2 years. Who knows? I don't. But I know we're close to it. I know it's time for us to keep the axe on the wheel, the grinder, all right? It needs to be sharpened. It never hurts to sharpen your mind and your way. So, I titled that Dwelling in the Lord because that was the title of both songs in the book. It started out that way. I like 91 because it said dwelling in the secret places of God. Search out those secrets. They're not secret to those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. All right, I'm going to call Dennis out. God bless you. I love you a bunch. And we'll be back this evening, and we're going to get into a little prophecy. I'm going to lay it on you.